Bevor wir zu einer Frage-Antwort-Runde kommen, möchte ich jetzt aber einige Expertinnen und Experten aus genau dem Raum, über den wir jetzt reden, zu Wort kommen lassen. Wir haben viele Expertinnen und Experten aus der Schwarzmeerregion heute bei uns, zum Beispiel Arthur Athanasyan. Er ist von der Universität Jerewan in Armenien. Ich darf ihn als nächstes für die nächsten 10 Minuten ans Pult bitten. Er behandelt das Thema Sicherheit, ein besonders brisantes Thema natürlich in der Region.
Dear colleagues, hello and thank you for inviting us to this brilliant conference. And I would like to express my appreciation not only to every participant of the group who organized this conference, but in particular to Dr. Zober Brandner, who unfortunately is not here today, and we were having with her very, you know, operative and very strict communication, very clear, and it's very sad that she's not here, but I hope that we'll meet her later and thank her. So the topic which I'm going to address is the like illustration of partly what was said before by colleagues who addressed the regional issues and conflicts. And absolutely there are some conflicts which are not solved and which are like called frozen conflicts. And we have also cooperation experience, which is also very important. So there is a stereotype that calling and talking about this area of Black Sea region, and in particular about South Caucasus, we start every time thinking about conflicts first and then about cooperation issues, and then we go to Russian influence on the region, which is perceived in Europe as very bad thing, etc. So there are some stereotypes, and I will try to accept and not to fix and concentrate on those stereotypes, but to go deeper on facts and on the more theoretical models of how to accept this reality and how to manage it based on our interests, our common interests. And there is like a change or transformation from what we had during the collapse of the Soviet Union disintegration process to the modern times of integration interests. So what we see now is reintegration of some parts of the Soviet Union which were disintegrated or dissolved first, and then we see again integration on the European continent that was not the case during Cold War period. And we see the integration of north and east of European and Asian parts, and now in Russia and on the post-Soviet territory we're talking about Eurasian project or Eurasian union, which was first expressed by President of Kazakhstan, Nazarbayev, and then President Putin of Russia uses now for basically political sense. So we have this transformation from disintegration to integration first. And the second trend which I would like to stress is that now we are going from national security issues to a collective security or cooperation, which is also very important because this makes us work together more intensively than if we would fix on our national interests only and national security problems. So this cold realism went to past, and now we have a kind of neorealism which is integrated with liberalism and which says let's cooperate even for our national narrow interests, to protect our national problems and interests. So this collective security now is a modern trend. So that's why we have to talk about collective problems and the problems of the regional issues. And I would just like to take one of the terms and notions and one of approaches which we have in the science or in the scholarship made by Barry Buzant, who is very popular scholar today, and he says security complex is he defines it And it's like a set of states whose major security perceptions and concerns are so interlinked that their national security problems cannot reasonably be analyzed or resolved apart from one another. So I will try to see if we have this kind of definition on the Caucasus region. If we have these kind of countries which interests are so interlinked that they would be interested to cooperate in frames of security. So this is what I think Europe needs in Caucasus, to see the set of interested countries which are interlinked and not separated. So there are some parts, elements of this. I will not theorize about these problems, but this is just an approach to start the case studies thing. And so there are two or more states. They are geographically located nearby. So that's why we are talking about countries located nearby, not because they think they're a region, but because of geographically it's easier to cooperate with them. They're located near Black Sea region. And I agree with you absolutely that maybe they don't perceive each other as neighbors and as a part of a security community today. Absolutely not. But it's easy to work with states which have common borders, at least. And so there is an interdependence between those states, negative either or positive either. And we will see that, unfortunately, we have today more negative interlinks between the states than positive ties. And there are two types of security complexes, according, again, to Barry Buzan, and he says homogeneous security complexes in one area of cooperation and heterogeneous security complexes in more than one sectors. So let's go to the map, and we have this Caucasus as a region geographically created, and we have here, as you see, Russian Federation on top, and then Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Turkey, and Iran. And we have also those so-called unrecognized states. So Nagorno-Karabakh state in the between Armenia and Azerbaijan. We have Khazia on the Black Sea coast, and also South Ossetia in between Russian Federation and what we now see on the map called Georgia with pink color. So this is like a de facto map. This is not political one. And what we have today is de facto states which exist in the between officially recognized countries. And we have here positive, negative, or strategic interdependence. You see those, you know, lines. And I try to demonstrate with blue lines positive interdependence and cooperation. With red, these are negative or conflict relations, and those, you know, separated lines are interdependence. And we see Armenian and Russian Federation as positive interdependence and as strategic interdependence. I will talk about in details later. We have Azerbaijani and Turkish strategic relationship, and I just don't see the, yeah, there is a line which is separated because they don't have common borders like Armenia and Russia, which doesn't have common border, but we have strategic interdependence. And again, this is very bad case and bad news because having no border, it's hard to, you know, support the strategic balance between two countries. And what we have with Russia being allies, we have only, you know, flights, and we don't have trains, we don't have autobahn between our two countries, which makes this cooperation very expensive, actually, and quite complicated. So negative interdependence. So I will try to focus on positive and on negative interdependence. And the negative interdependence in the region is based on conflicts. And first, Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, Azerbaijan, unrecognized Nagorno-Karabakh Republic, Armenia, plus Russia and Turkey. Why plus Russia and Turkey? Because Russia and Turkey have played a very important and very, let's say, covered non-official role in this conflict, and they still play this role. And the future, this conflict depends on further developments of Russia as a country, as a strategic regional player, and on Turkish role in the Caucasus in the future. And we see today concerning the this Arab Spring cases and issues in the Arab world, we see that rising China is represented by another rising Turkey in the region. So this is very important to see and to judge about the conflicts in the future. So we have Georgia versus Abkhazia and South Ossetia plus Russian Federation. This is not the Russian position on the conflict. We all know that Georgian position is that the war was between Russian Federation and Georgia, but actually talking about conflict, not about war, war just is a phase or is a part of this conflict. The conflict itself is between Georgia, Abkhazia and South Ossetia, not between Georgia and Russian Federation. I would say maybe Russia played negative role in this conflict using military power this time. But again, when the war was taking place in August, I was in Boston and participating in very important discussion between American political decision makers. I said that I just received an impression that Americans were saying, again, this is Russian territory and Russian influence. That's why we don't have to interfere. We don't have to criticize. What Russia does in the region is what it should do in the region. And this was American official, American approach that time during the war. We know that mass media was saying another things, but decision making was pro-Russian that time in America, at least. What I was witnessing that time. And so we have also NATO enlargement problem or project. It's a project for Georgia, but it's a problem for Russia. And this is different approach and perception. So energy security projects and contradictions. We have there at least one problem, Caspian Sea resource management by those neighboring countries which have different approaches to how to share this oil and gas fields on the Caspian Sea. And again, we have military security problems and contradictions. And I just mentioned here one, this Gabala radar station, which belongs to, like, was paid by Russia on the territory of Azerbaijan. Now Azerbaijan rejects continuing this one, but invites NATO and America to be present militarily in the region. So this is a transformation which will bring in some way to the changes in the conflict relationships. And these are just geographical. This is a geographical map, we see just in the bold colors three unrecognized states around which they are very hard and frozen today. But there is an opinion that they're not a frozen conflicts, but they're just like conflicts which go forward slowly. They are not stopped and they continue, so they are not frozen at all. And there is Caspian Sea coastline approach, the problem which I said. Countries around Caspian Sea, Russian Federation, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, and Iran are in a problem of sharing or dividing these oil fields, oil and gas fields. And again, the problem is mostly focused on Iran's concerns today. And Iran, being a very problematic country and being a neighbor of Armenia, bears today more problems than advantages for the region. And very often, partners from the same United States or Europe say, yes, we are ready to go to this Caucasus region to cooperate, but we know that there is Iran there. And we wouldn't like to have some business close to the border with such a failed state like Iran. It's dangerous. That's why this problem doesn't create an advantage for business people, but it's more an issue to concern and to solve. Again, and cooperation projects now. We have different cooperation examples in the region, and first, is Turkey-Azerbaijan cooperation. Those two countries signed the agreement on strategic partnership and mutual support in 2010, which says under terms of this treaty, using all possibilities is mentioned to support each other. So it absolutely includes not only economic but also military and some other hard power things to sustain each other's interests. So growing Turkey means growing Azerbaijan in the region. It's very important to understand. And connecting this to, let's say, the same Russia-Turkey relationships, if growing Turkey is in the interest of Russian Federation, so it means growing Turkey means growing Russia, and this is a link to cooperation. But in the Russian Federation, not everybody thinks that growing Turkey is very good for Russia. Then we have Turkey-Azerbaijan trade culture unity, which is very important. So we have this heterogeneous complex. And how many time? How much time I have? Okay. So and this is a like a pipeline, Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan, which is very strategic and important, but an old one. And now countries think about further developments and further plans. And Russia-Armenia, numerous things of, cooperation, starting from this military mutual support and membership in CSTO, which says every country and member of CSTO has to support each other economically, politically, and militarily. We have this Collective Security Treaty Organization thing, which unifies different countries, and in the center is Russian Federation, but in the text of national security strategy of Russian Federation, NATO is considered as a threat, as an enemy, and if there are some countries unified around Russia in a CSTO unity, they have to consider NATO as a threat to every country involved. And this creates problems, for example, to Armenia, which has very important strategic cooperation with the United States. And let's skip. There are some Armenia-Iran relations, and I think we'll address them during the questions and answers. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Natsisyan.